You've prepared me very well to speak because I'm longing to hear more from you.
If you wish, I can tell you this meditation on which Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it is very congenient with your own worship of Srila Prabhupada. I think you worship your Prabhupada more regularly.
It's Prabhupada and Haridasa Thakur.
Oh yeah, deities. Wonderful.
It was a very profound talk you gave, philosophically and emotionally. It was very penetrating. When you ended, it wasn't the true ending, but the apparent ending at 8:08. I was actually thinking of beginning my talk with that line from the Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Yeah, it's... As you were saying, Srila Prabhupada often gave different answers to the same question, but the answers were only apparently different. If you investigated more deeply, you would find that the answers were the same. So, once I heard Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is 90% association. And so Sangat Sanjayate Kama, our desire, develops from Sangha, from association. Association can be of two types, Vani and Vapu. Vani, of course, means transcendental sound or words, and Vapu means physical presence. And by association, we become attached. That's also part of that sequence in the Bhagavad Gita, that when the senses dwell on the objects of the senses, lust develops, or attachment. And we cannot really feel separation from anyone or anything unless we have some attachment for the person or thing. And to develop that attachment, we have to have association. Generally, in the spiritual field, we become attached first to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, then to Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and then to Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And one of the reasons is that we know our spiritual master. We have seen him. We have heard from him. We have spoken to him. We have rendered personal service to him. And by that association, we have become attached to him. And therefore, when we're deprived of that association, we feel separation from him. And that can apply to other devotees who are shiksha gurus to us. But when we go further down the line, we don't have that direct personal touch as we have with the spiritual master or other Vaishnavas whom we can see and speak to, touch, smell, so on. So we associate with them by vani, by hearing about them. And by hearing about them, we can become attached to them. One of the striking examples to me from Srimad Bhagavatam is the case of Princess Rukmini, who simply by hearing about Krishna became so attached to him that she wanted to have him as her husband and no one else. And we, too, when we hear about Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can develop that desire to meet the person and associate the person and join the person in his pastimes and serve the person in his pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada introduced the practice in ISKCON of reading the Krishna book every night before taking rest. We discussed this at the retreat in New Vrindavan. Because we chant the holy name, but if we chant nicely and if our consciousness is properly prepared, chanting the name will naturally remind us of the Lord's form and qualities and pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada had said that if you read the Krishna book, then whatever you see will remind you of Krishna. So we sort of applied the same idea or principle that every night we should read the Krishna book or some transcendental literature involving the pastimes of the Lord or the Lord's devotees. And then when we go to sleep, absorbed in the Lord's pastimes, it will be somewhat natural the next morning when we chant that we will remember the Lord's pastimes with that hankering or yearning to become part of his entourage in his pastimes. So we need to associate. And the association of the Lord through the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord is enhanced by doing that in the association of other devotees who have that desire or eagerness or anxiety. And we experience it when we chant and hear with them. Um, when I entered the room here the day before yesterday on the 64 round day, I came close to the altar to see the deities, and I was transfixed. I just sat down on the floor. I didn't want to leave. And feeling waves of mercy and love coming from Haridas Thakur for the devotees. Of course, Radha Kanailal, she Radharani looked like she was dancing. Her skirt and braid were flying in the air, so it's like, and that the chanting flowed very easily. I thought, wow, you know, this is Prabhupada's mercy. You know, I was not doing it. This was Prabhupada's mercy. But more than Prabhupada's mercy, or along with Prabhupada's mercy, I also knew that it was the association of the devotees around me, you know, that was uplifting me. You know, Archana Siddhi Mataji was there, then you came, and eventually Yogi Purush Prabhu came, and I thought it's because of the association and chanting of all of these devotees that I'm being carried along like this. So if we can associate with Krishna through the holy name, form, qualities, pastimes, as in the Lila Kirtan, in the association of devotees who have eagerness and taste, then that enhances our experience and desire. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. And the real challenge that we face when we leave the retreat is how to do it without the strong association. I remember after the very first retreat I attended, which was an extremely powerful experience. Actually, in the initial stage, after Purushashukta Prabhu had the idea of beginning a spiritual care initiative, the question was, how? You know, in what way do we proceed? And he sent a letter to different devotees who had been at the first meeting or who had expressed interest. You know, what would you like to do? And with whom would you like to do it? So I responded, I would like to do it with Sachinandan Swami, because you were on the list. And I hadn't had your association for so many years. And based on our mutual desire, it was arranged that there would be a japa retreat with you in Ojai, California, just a few minutes from Santa Barbara. But then you became ill, and you couldn't travel. And you were thinking we would have to cancel the retreat. But Purushashukta Prabhu said, no, we will not cancel it. We will do it anyway. And somehow Ravindra Saru Prabhu came, and I was there, and it was a very intimate retreat. It was all Prabhupada disciples. And the devotees really opened up their hearts to each other. And we all felt so close to each other, you know, through that experience, as we're experiencing here, that I've been really close to each other. Especially many of us had served together so many years before, decades before. So, you know, we all had very profound experiences, and we were all determined that we would apply what we had learned at the retreat in our daily lives. And for a few days, it was like that. There was so much momentum. But then, you know, little by little, you know, just got a little deflated. And then one of the participants phoned and said, you know, I can't do it on my own. You know, we need each other. We're not that strong. I can't do it on my own. And we have to make some arrangement to get together. So that principle of association, that spiritual association through Vani, is always available. We can always chant, we can always read, we can always, you know, look at a picture of Krishna or a deity and feel some longing. But again, as you were discussing the culture, if we are separated from devotees and then furthermore have to work in a job with non-devotees, the whole culture around us is surcharged with materialism. And I've heard so many devotees say that the greatest hardship in their work is the association. It's not actually the work itself, but it's the association. And the low level of consciousness of the people, the low level of conversation, it's a terrible hardship. And then after a day of that, you come home, you have time, but you're just so drained of your enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. It's really hard to pick yourself up. And that's where association is so important. Even when we preach and have to deal a lot with the material world, or, you know, different varieties of people, I find that I chant better in the association of other devotees because it helps to keep me focused. And it's not very often, but if I go away somewhere, sort of on a personal retreat, and I have no other association, it's just like me and the holy name and my deities, and I really don't interact with anyone, I mean, even devotees, then I can just sit and chant, just me and the holy name, and, you know, Srila Prabhupada, our best talk for Lord Chaitanya. But otherwise, I need that support of the association of devotees to keep that focus of intention. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to the Nectar of Instruction, has taken this verse, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, in a positive way, or a neutral way. you know, that by association one develops desire. But in the original context in which the verse appears in the Gita, it's part of the cycle of degradation, you know, that when the senses dwell on the objects of the senses, lust develops. From lust, attachment, from, you know, and the whole anger, the forgetfulness, and one falls into the material whirlpool. And how subtle association is illustrated in a story I heard from a young lady who met Srila Prabhupada when he first came to Los Angeles. She was a young Gujarati girl. This is, you know, 1970. She had recently married an Indian man, and she had come with him to America, to Los Angeles. And in those days, there weren't so many Indians in America. And the movement was very new. I imagine that Prabhupada's cooks were not so, well, whatever it is, he engaged the young lady in cooking for him. And she would regularly come and cook upstairs at Watsika Avenue. And, you know, she was young. She had just come from India. I'm sure she missed home. And Prabhupada was there with his disciples. But then she was there, like another Indian. And so he developed a very paternal relationship with her. And sometimes he would come from his room and sort of look in the kitchen and chat with her. And they had a very free and open relationship. And she would just confide in him like to a grandfather. So one day she said, Prabhupada, I want to go to a department store. In those days in India, there were no department stores. You know, there were either vendors on the street or, you know, there'd be a store for a specific item. But not a department store where you go in and there's everything in under one roof. She said, Prabhupada, I want to see a department store. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, don't go. She said, no, I just want to see it. I've never seen it. I just want to go once. And Prabhupada said, no, don't go. And then she was like very disappointed. She said, you know, just to see once out of curiosity, what's the problem? And Srila Prabhupada replied, when you go to the department store, you will see so many things that you didn't even know existed. And when you see them, you will develop a desire for them. And as long as you have material desires, you have to take birth in the material world. So that's Sangat Sanjayate Kama. He didn't want her senses to dwell on the objects of the senses in the department store, because attachment would develop, and that attachment would bind her to the material world. Now, we talk about the culture we're in. I mean, shopping is, for many people, it's a major part of life. They even have this term, retail therapy, that, like, if you feel depressed, if you feel down, just go out and shop. You feel better. Even our esteemed former president, George W. Bush, after the attack on the Twin Towers on 9/11, he addressed the people of America, and he told them that our enemies, you know, Al-Qaeda, our enemies, they are against our system. They want to destroy us, and they have struck fear in our hearts. And the best way that we can defeat them and show that they have not succeeded in destroying our way of life is to go out and shop. That was his message to the people of America. So, it's such a culture we're in. It's terrible. And then Srila, and then Srila Prabhupada said something that was very sort of poignant, because the young lady, she kept sort of insisting, you know, she's probably 18 years old, really just young, newly married girl. So it was sort of like, whatever, pouting, like he wasn't letting her go. And then Prabhupada said, "You're arguing with me now, but one day when I'm not here, you'll remember how you argued with me, and you will regret it." And that was a very poignant statement. And that actually invokes the mood of separation. When you feel separation, petty, insignificant things pale and disappear. They just do not matter. I mean, Prabhupada talks about smashan vairagya, the renunciation of the crematorium. I mean, I've seen it in India. The richest Indian family at that time, newly rich family, the Hindujas, their son, only son of the eldest brother, had died. It was quite a story. And so they brought the body. He was actually in a fire in Mauritius. It was a very complicated story, and they brought him to England for medical treatment, and it failed, and he died, and then they brought the body to Bombay. And then eventually there was a cremation, and the Hinduja family invited us to attend and do kirtan. And afterwards there was another very wealthy Sindhi businessman who I knew quite well, and he came up to me and he said, "You know, you see this and you wonder, what are we doing all this for? All this making money, building buildings, getting name and fame. You know, what are we doing this all for? It all ends in this and that." So you get that sense of renunciation comes. But in the case of ordinary people, it doesn't last. Smashan or vairagya, okay, they feel like that for a day or two, but then it's business as usual. But with devotees, that feeling of separation automatically brings detachment. They go together. That famous verse, Bhakti Parashana Bhava Virektar Anyatra Cha. That, well, I'll relate that to a question that someone asked Srila Prabhupada that very much relates to the subject of longing. While chanting, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk, how can we know if we're chanting with quality? And Srila Prabhupada replied that when the quality is there, you will know it. You won't have to ask. And then he quoted this verse that when you're hungry and you're eating, you don't have to ask someone, am I satisfied? You know, you don't have to take a certificate. Oh, now you've eaten, now you're satisfied. You feel satisfied. And then he said that when the quality comes, you will know it. You won't have to ask if the quality has come. And then he quoted that when the quality comes, Govinda Virahename, you'll feel that in the absence of Govinda, the whole universe is vacant. So that is quality. But he said that is not so cheap. Right now, we chant as a matter of duty. We have taken our vow to chant our prescribed number of rounds, 16 rounds. Right now we chant as a matter of duty. We have to do it. In the hope that one day that quality will come. But that quality is not such an easy thing or such a cheap thing. And then he mentioned asakti, which is the stage just before bhava. That, you know, then you can chant with quality, with feeling. Govinda Virahename. And then he connected it to enthusiasm, because as we've been discussing, desire, eagerness, anxiety, there's also enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada has also said, without enthusiasm, you can't do anything. You can't make progress in any field. And he said, just like me, I get up in the middle of the night and write. No one is forcing me. No one is watching me. No one is telling me. But naturally, I'm enthusiastic. I want to get up after 2 hours of rest. I want to write these books. I have that enthusiasm. No one can force that on you. No one can tell you. But it has to be there within you. And he said, and therefore people appreciate my books so much. People like my purport so much because they come out of my natural enthusiasm. Of course, in another context, Srila Prabhupada said that his purports were his personal ecstasies. It's the same idea. So, you know, he said, you know, maybe, you know, after so many lifetimes that quality will come. But for now we do our duty and, you know, in the hope that that quality will come. But of course now we also have association of devotees and making a systematic attempt to, like you said, we can't crank it up or jack it up, but by hearing an association, that desire to be Krishna conscious arises. And I come back to association, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, because we have all the facilities at home. We have our chanting beads, we have our deities, we have our set of books or our iPods. We can be filled with Krishna Katha and Krishna Nam day and night if we want. But because of the enervating, mundane environment, we lose our enthusiasm. And to get that enthusiasm, we need that association of devotees. And one other point, mainly we think of it, sometimes we think of association in terms of chanting and hearing together as we're doing. Another type of association is through serving the person. And in the first canto, second chapter, we have a series of verses that describe the gradual development of Krishna consciousness through the different stages. And there's San Mahat Seva Vipra Vasudeva Kataruchi, that by serving great souls, one develops ruchi, one develops taste for the message of Krishna. After living in temples for 30 years, from the day I joined, because of my health, health and circumstance had changed my lifestyle, so I'm no longer living in temples most of the time. But fortunately, I had a facility that could accommodate God brothers to come and visit me. And I found in the absence of living in a temple, having God brothers stay with me, was encouraging. But it wasn't just that they were staying and we'd take prasad together and talk, but it was, I was taking it as an opportunity to serve them. And there's a nice verse and purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada talks about, how Lord Chaitanya gave the instruction every year to chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. And then the residents of Kulina Gram would ask, how do we recognize a Vaishnava? And Srila Prabhupada, explained the first year, Lord Chaitanya said that anyone who chants the holy name once is a Vaishnava, and you should serve him. And Srila Prabhupada said that verse refers to the neophyte who's just beginning to chant. And then the next year, when they ask, Lord Chaitanya says, one who's always chanting the holy name is an advanced devotee, and you should serve him. And Srila Prabhupada said that refers, in this, it's madhyam, but in this case, Prabhupada uses the word advanced. In this sequence, he refers to Kanista Madhyam and Uttama as neophyte, advanced, and perfect. And you should serve the devotee, the advanced devotee who's always chanting the holy names. And then, of course, the last is someone whose mere sight or presence inspires others to chant the holy name. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that by chant, that one who has faith, again, adoshraddha, everything depends on faith, one who has faith that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are identical is considered a pure devotee, even if he's in the neophyte position. And he says that by chanting the holy name with that faith, one realizes himself to be an eternal servant of the holy name and of the other servants of the holy name. So when I don't want to make it too particular about my situation, but it's the principle, and it's something we each can see how we can apply in our own situations. But when God brothers come, and I know they have taste for the holy name, so I think, oh, if I serve them, because that's a part of the process. If you serve someone, you develop their qualities. So, oh, Radhana Swami staying, or Ranjan Swami staying, and Tridunya Swami staying, they have taste for the holy name. So if I serve them, I will also, by some mysterious process, I will also develop some taste for the holy name. And the holy name is a person. I remember. I guess I'm easily influenced by associations. When I first came in to the room 2 days ago and was chanting, it was just flowing so easily. It was like really fast. And Mother Archana Siddhi was just nearby, and she chants very quick. And I said, oh, wow, yeah, I could chant 64 rounds. I'll be finished in no time. And then Satchinandan Swami came and sat behind me. I didn't even turn around. I didn't even see you, but I felt a change in the atmosphere. And every once in a while, I'd hear these sort of long, drawn-out Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so then I also started, it wasn't imitation, but just absorbing that mood. So then I started also chanting slower. I thought, oh, this is really nice. Like, I'm really relishing them. But then after a while, the thought came, you know, if I keep chanting at this rate, am I going to finish 64 rounds? But then I thought, actually, it's not the point to chant 64 rounds. The point is to associate with the holy name and please the holy name. And if the holy name wants me to associate with him or them in this way, then that's what I'll do. You know, what does it matter if I push down 64? So now coming back to serving the servants of the holy name. This one time when Naranjan Swami was staying with me in Carpinteria, when I went to the beach in the evening to chant, he asked me in quite a sincere way. But, you know, he's the type, he doesn't impose, you know, he doesn't put any demands on anyone. He's amazing. So even for him to ask in that very mild and gentle way was quite unusual for him, and I marked, he said, you know, if it works, you know, if you're back in time, I would like to speak with you. So I went to the beach, and I was sitting and chanting, and it was one of those times where it was like it was flowing, and it was like I didn't want to stop, and I didn't want to stop. But at a certain stage, I could see because the sun was starting to go down, and I knew it. He was taking rest early, and so I was in a dilemma, you know, because I was relishing, and but at the same time, I knew he wanted me to come back, and he never asked for anything. And then I felt the holy name, anyway, whatever it was, but I felt like a message from the holy name that that Niranjan Swami is very dear to me. He is spreading the holy name all over the world. So if you go back and serve him, I will be pleased. And whatever you miss from not chanting more now, I will make up to you later. So, I don't know if it's just a projection of my mind, but I took it that it was the holy name. And so I came back. So I think this is something else we can do. Serve devotees who have a taste for the holy name. And this again brings us back, you know, sort of full circle. You know, attachment for the spiritual master, then Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna. So it's the same with separation, because the two go together. You know, we feel separation from our spiritual master, we feel separation from advanced devotees who are in the category of sadhu, shiksha gurus. And the way we can deal with our feelings of separation, of course, yeah, we can hanker for their association, but the other way is by serving their instructions, which Srila Prabhupada often said that by serving the instructions of the spiritual master, you get his association. And, you know, how Srila Prabhupada said, I've been separated from my spiritual master for so many years, but by following his instructions, I feel his presence. And in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with the passing away of King Vidarbha, anyway, he and his wife, he had taken vanaprastha, and he and his wife had gone into the forest, and then and she had served him very faithfully, and then at a certain stage, he left, and she was lamenting piteously over his departure, the departure of the king who was her husband, and Srila Prabhupada explains that the king, figuratively, is the spiritual master, and the wife, figuratively, is the disciple. And just as the wife cried when her husband left, similarly, the disciple should cry when the spiritual master leaves. And this I came across this just after Prabhupada left, and it was like really instructive. And then after some time, a Brahmin appears to the queen and says, I am your old friend. Don't you remember me? And then Srila Prabhupada explains that the old friend is actually Krishna. But he raises the question, why did Krishna come in the form of the Brahman? Why did he not come in his original form as Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada gives the answer, he quotes quite extensively from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that unless one is very highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, one cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly face to face. But one can see the spiritual master by following his instructions. One can meet the spiritual master by following his instructions. And that by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one ultimately sees Krishna. And instead of, again, that idea of so-called devotees or sahajiyas, and so Prabhupada said, instead of trying to see Krishna in some bush in Vrindavan, we should rather strictly adhere to the orders of the spiritual master. And by following the orders of the spiritual master, somehow we are in association with the spiritual master and Krishna. So the feelings, well, first we have to associate, just to summarize at the end. First we have to associate by Vani or Vapu. When we associate, we develop attachment. And then when we have attachment, we can feel separation. And then when we feel separation, we can chant with longing. And along with chanting with longing, we can make a very honest, earnest, concerted endeavor to follow the instructions. And by following the instructions in that mood of longing and separation, and of course part of the instructions are to chant and hear, but chanting and hearing in the mood of longing and association, we come closer to them. We come closer to them. And coming closer to them means our attachment increases. And coming closer to them may mean, because there are so many different moods, it may mean feeling that we're with them, feeling their presence, or it may mean feeling their separation. But in any case, it's association. And I'm thinking of, Rukmini Devi Dasi. She was the head pujari in the Boston Temple when I was there. And she told me how, from the very beginning, she was always attracted to the deities, but not always favorably. But she was always thinking of the deities, but not always favorably. Sometimes she'd have problems with them, or she'd argue with them, or she'd, you know, question them. But she was always thinking about them. And then, you know, gradually her relationship with them became solidified, and she became the head pujari. So sort of like somehow or other, you know, yena tena prakarena, somehow or other, fix the mind on Krishna. And Krishna's always there, like whatever it is. If we're, sometimes when we're in trouble, we think of Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please save me. And then when the trouble's over, oh, okay, we're all right. I don't need Krishna. I mean, I did need him, but now I think I'm okay. I can do without him. And some people are the opposite. If something good happens, oh, Krishna's there. Krishna really does love me. Krishna really does care for me. And then if something bad happens, oh boy, you know, I've been chanting, I've been serving, and this is what I get? What kind of a God is this? What kind of a process is this? So it's like we link our material ups and downs, or our Krishna consciousness is linked to our material ups and downs. But if we start to develop genuine spiritual attachment, then that prevails whatever the external upheavals are. And then it doesn't matter. And I'll just conclude with one little excerpt from a talk Srila Prabhupada gave. He was talking about the calamities that the Pandavas had to endure. And it's described that when the Pandavas were in exile and having gone through so many terrible situations, Krishna came to them. And they weren't expecting him. You know, he just appeared there, and spontaneously they were filled with love for Krishna. They weren't thinking, oh, you know, look, you know, you're our friend and look what happened to us. But they just felt love for Krishna. But Narada, he had that relationship with Krishna in which he could a little chide him that, you know, the Pandavas are your great devotees, your surrendered souls. And they had to suffer so much. They were put in exile and, you know, their house was set on fire and they, you know, just a whole litany of miseries. And they're your devotees and they surrendered to you. Is that a very good way for you to deal with your devotees? And then Narada said, but I don't know what magic you work on your devotees, that even though so many calamities fall upon them, they are still mesmerized by your transcendental name and form and qualities and pastimes, and they still love you all the more. So I don't know what magic you, what hypnotism you work on your devotees. So that should be our prayer. We should long to have that type of pure love for Krishna, that no matter what, you know, you may handle me tightly by your embrace or make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally.